You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? You have wearied the Lord with your words. Now then, if you weary the Lord with your words, and you're begging and pleading and asking him to do something, when you have broken your soul tie with your mate, and God hates that, you think he's just going to be there to answer your prayer every time you ask him to do something? No. That creates a real problem. When the soul tie is broken by divorce, it does lots of damage to both of you and to the children if you have children. I remember I had never been a member of any family that had a divorce. So I had no idea how it worked up close. But after Betty and I had been married probably 10 or 15 years, I guess it maybe 20 years. Yes, maybe 20 years. One day her mother told her she was going to divorce her daddy. And by this time, Betty was a 40-year-old woman. Me and her had been married 20 years. I saw that devastate. My wife became a totally, completely different human being for a while. It devastated her. She was miserable. I just couldn't believe that one sentence could affect one human being so much. But it did. I mean, she was sick. You know, it caused all kinds of problems. You just don't realize what breaking these soul ties do, you know, are creating unholy soul ties. When her mother and dad, which had been married all these years, and now all of a sudden her mother says she's going to divorce her daddy. I mean, killed her. I mean, just broke her heart. I couldn't believe it. I mean, if you're a 10-year-old child, it has an effect on you a certain way. I've seen children that were good children, 10, 12 years old, mother and dad get a divorce, and they become little devils. Have y'all seen that? Yeah, it happens. You know, if you know this is going to happen, when you break these soul ties that God says is going to supposed to be forever, then think about it before you. When you people say, well, it's not going to affect anybody but me. Oh, yeah, it can make you sick. It can make your spouse sick or your ex-spouse. It can make your children sick. It can change, and those curses can be passed on several generations. You can have all kinds of complications throughout your life. You that are here sitting in this room today could be sick because of a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent that done something, or if you had a grandparent 10 generations ago that had a sexual relationship with a man and brought a child into the world out of wedlock, as far back as 10 generations, that can affect you. The Word of God says that in Deuteronomy 23:2. It clearly says that your curse, you can be cursed for 10 generations because of sexual immorality. In other words, if a child is born, in other words, the Bible calls it a bastard. It's what the King James calls it in Deuteronomy 23:2. If a bastard or a child out of wedlock is born to a family, that family that he's born into will be cursed for 10 generations. So I don't know, there's not a family I know of nowhere that doesn't have somebody that's born out of wedlock in 10 generations. It's just non-existent. So to be able to be free from that, you need to be able to learn how to break all these soul ties and to be able to get free so you can get healed. I've seen a lot of people until they learn how to break a soul tie, they'll be bound up in something all their life, be sick and afflicted, and yet when they learn to break the soul tie and command the spirit that goes with that soul tie to leave, that's when they get healed. It's quite a big deal, I will have to say. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Deuteronomy 23:2. That's pretty devastating, isn't it? Now then, let's go to soul ties between Christian brothers and sisters. Let's talk a little bit about this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 32. There's a lot of scriptures on this. We may or may not get through with them, but Wow. I sat there the last two or three days and made this outline, and I thought, geez, maybe I can make this last. Wow. I'm almost halfway through. Maybe we may have to use the rest of it next time. I don't know. Or keep going or something. Yeah, praise the Lord. Soul ties are very important. I didn't realize, it took me a long time to understand how these unholy relationships, and I understood that, you know, but I didn't understand they were generating an unholy soul tie. But that's what they're doing. Now, generating soul ties between your Christian brothers and sisters, Ephesians 4:1. Let's start there. And then we'll, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. This is good information of how we are supposed to walk with each other. And it's very difficult to do this. Sometimes it's a whole lot easier to talk about your brother or sister or call them bad names than it is to walk here. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Because we're all in a different place as the body of Christ, your brothers and sisters. One of you will be strong in faith, and the other will be weak in faith. You know, one of you, well, it's just amazing. Verse 3 and 4, let's go on here in the interest of time. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I mean, we can stir up a nightmare in the church in a heartbeat, can't we? All you got to do is say the wrong things, not realizing that these things will make you sick. You know, you can be made sick by doing these things. It says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One body. In other words, every one of us in this room are members of one body. So we're all one. So that's why we should be concerned for the other one, because actually you're not just your individual, a self. We are bound together and supposedly in a holy soul tie, one with another. All of us as children of God. And we should remember that. As brothers and sisters, we're bound together in a holy soul tie. And there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5 and 6. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So by him being there, we've generated a good soul tie with the Lord, a strong one, and we want to walk in it, and then we want to do the same thing one to another. Verse 7 and 8. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9 and 10. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. Verse 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So as in verse 12 there, as we are working together with whatever gifts he giveth, he gave me a gift of teaching to teach people how to walk without being sick. And I have been able to teach it and see many, many thousands of people get set free, healed, and delivered. God has given me a great gift. I am so grateful for this gift that he's given me because, I mean, that's just like one time I was up in Baltimore and I was teaching on these things and I had, I don't know, 100, 150 people in the congregation that day. And at the end, I asked a question. I said, is there anybody that has a question? I'll try to answer questions for the next 30 minutes or so if you have questions. And there's one little lady right over here on the side. She jumped up and threw both hands up in the air. And she said, where were you 20 years ago when I needed you? I said, well, ma'am, 20 years ago, I didn't know these things. So if I'd have been here, it wouldn't have helped you none. I couldn't have helped you. You know, because, I mean, you know, she thought I knew these things forever. I had just been learning these things. This was about 10 years ago when this happened. But, I mean, when you start learning and you start teaching people and they get a hold of this, it changes your life forever. You know that? It changes the way you do business. But he gives us all these different gifts for the perfecting of the saints. He wants us all to be perfect. Verse 13 and 14. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sly of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. Verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. So this soul tie, according to these scriptures that we're reading here, this soul tie we're supposed to generate between our Christian brothers and sisters is supposed to be so binding that we really see ourselves as one. We should have that kind of relationship. We should be able to talk with each other, should be able to love each other in the love of Christ. You know, you totally do away with the fleshly love. That kind of love is only between a man and his wife. You know, the other kind of love, we should be able to talk with each other. We should be able to put a hand on somebody, should be welcome, put your hand on somebody's shoulder or on their back or something like that and tell them you love them. And your thoughts should be clean and pure because that's the soul tie that you need to generate with each other. Is that right? I see you shaking your head there. You must have liked that, huh? That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? See, that's the way it's supposed to be. But you know, if you're not careful, when a man touches another woman, if he touches her in the wrong place, his mind starts running. That's why men have to keep their hands off of women. You know that? I mean, I know how men think. So I've even made the statement in this church that, you know, if you're a man and my wife is up here and you come up here, don't you grab a hold of her and pull her up and kiss her on the cheek. I don't want you to do that to my wife because I don't know very many men that's holy enough to do that. Y'all know where I'm coming from? Most men don't walk holy before God.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled Holy and Unholy Relationships, Soul Ties, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.